Welcome back, everyone, to Racecast. And it is official. Lando Norris has bottled another pole position. We won't go into that right away. If you are a Lando fan, don't worry. We're not going to cook him all episode. But while you're here, please do give us a five-star rating wherever you're listening to us, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It's going to be one of those. It's incredibly likely to be one of those. Also, if you want to get involved online, you can follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Just search Racecast, and you will find us. I haven't really got much more to say other than what a weekend. And we have a lot to dive into, so stick around.
There's a lot in there. Welcome along, everyone. Where do we start? Because, obviously, the worst-kept secret was announced on Saturday, which is Antonelli...
So Mercedes announced that Kimi Antonelli would be replacing Lewis Hamilton at the end of the season. Obviously, it was no secret that Lewis Hamilton was leaving to go to Ferrari, given that was announced back in February or whenever the hell it was. But it was, I guess, kind of the worst kept secret in F1. But there are a few things that aren't adding up here, right? And number one is Toto Wolff saying, I knew 5 minutes after Lewis Hamilton had told me he was leaving to go to Ferrari that it was Kimi Antonelli.
Did you see that interview with...
Why has he been flirting with everyone? Why has he been having meetings with Max Verstappen then? Is that to replace George Russell? Or is he just lying? Because I think I know what one it is. And it's not to replace George Russell. Let's be honest.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because they were delving into this after. We don't... And correct me if I'm wrong here. We don't know the length of contract which Kimi has been given. As far as we know, he's driving for the 2025 season, but we don't know any more than that.
Yeah, I not that I've actively gone out to look, but normally stuff like that shows up on my feed.
Normally say like a multi-year deal or whatever. Yeah. What I'm guessing here is actually they couldn't get Max this year. What it seems is that Max has kind of said no to actually going to Mercedes for next year. What they're going to do, bring Kimi in, hopefully he does well, but then there's a bit of a headache because if Red Bull continue on the, you know, the downfall which they're currently on, will Max eventually, and you know, Mercedes start to get better and better, Max will start looking elsewhere. So you know, is the plan here that actually put Kimi in for next year if Kimi does well, because Kimi is the future potentially of that team?
Yeah, I mean, you hope. I mean, he didn't do too well in FP1.
No, we say that, okay, he binned it and like 6 minutes in, but his lap times, which had been leading up to that, his couple of laps were impressive.
Yeah. Okay, and this is, I know that it's completely unreflective of his performance, but yeah. Well, his ability. But I guess it kind of showed how eager he was too eager to get out there. And yeah, his lap times probably looked good, but it's because I think he was pushing way harder than anyone else was in an FP1 session, where you're really just trying to understand how the car is working around the track. How is the track feeling? Especially because Monza had the new
tarmac, the
curbs had changed, turn one had changed. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not entirely sure how representative they are.
No, but his pace looked relatively good for someone who has just come in for his first session. But I don't know. My gut feeling is they'll keep Kimi. If Kimi does well next year and Max goes, do you know what? I'll come along to Mercedes. I actually think George's seat could be at risk. Because...
Okay, so if George...
Listen to what I'm saying before you dive into this.
I know what you're saying. I don't think George Russell is at risk.
Okay, so say next season Kimi does a really good job. He's what, 18 years old, 17, 18 years old?
Yeah, he's 18.
You know, he's been with the team since, what, 2014 or something like that? He's been with them.
Yeah.
They're building with him, his like potential, you know, future of the team. Kimi has a good season. George has a mediocre season.
Does George finish above Kimi or below him?
Okay, so George finishes just slightly above Kimi, but just slightly. Say by 20 points, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Max says, you know what, I want to join Mercedes. You look like you're on the right road. I want to join. Uh-huh. They're not getting rid of Kimi.
No, but then at the same time, are they then going to look at that and be like, actually, does it make sense to bring in Max Verstappen alongside Kimi Antonelli, who is clearly coming up? Will that stifle him? You know, because then you've got a different problem, haven't you? Of, well, actually, Kimi's pushing on to be a number one here.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like how Fernando Alonso left McLaren, Lewis Hamilton having an unbelievable first season, and they bring in Kovalainen.
If you're whatever team is on that grid, if you have someone like a Lewis Hamilton or a Max Verstappen say, I want to come and drive for you, you don't turn them down.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Where is their thought process going to be? Is it going to be, oh, yeah, it's Max Verstappen. Of course we'll take him. Max and Kimi, that's a what a partnership. Obviously, this is speculative at the moment. Mm. I don't think that's such a spectacular partnership. Yeah. But, or are they going to think, oh, actually, it's working with George. We know that George is going to be consistent and get us points.
No.
And Kimi's actually going to be the world champion.
You have a 3-time, 4-time, 5-time world champion say they want to come and join your team. You're getting rid of George Russell.
Let's be real. He's not going to be a 5-time world champion.
He'll be a 4-time world champion, potentially.
Oh, he'll win the championship this year. Yeah, I mean, he's got no competition, has he?
Which is interesting, because last week, you were telling me that actually Lando has a good opportunity of winning the Drivers' Championship.
Yeah,
and didn't I say, I think Lando will fuck it for himself. And we'll get onto that in a minute. But just touching on, for Kimi, I think it's brilliant. I think it's great for the sport.
I'll tell you one thing I am excited to see, right? And that is a young driver get the opportunity to race for a top team.
Yeah.
Like, straight off the bat. I feel like, genuinely, that's not something we've seen since Lewis going to McLaren.
No, I don't think we have.
I know Max very quickly got the move to Red Bull
from
his time at Toro Rosso, but they still, at that point in time, they were like third, fourth fastest team. He didn't go to top team.
He still went to Toro Rosso before he went to Red Bull.
Exactly. So, you know, even Piastri coming, okay, he came straight into McLaren. They were far from a top team.
Well, they were mid-table, sometimes even below mid-table.
Yeah, so, I mean, at the start of the season, they were the slowest car.
Yeah, very true.
So I am really excited to see that, because I think we often criticise drivers who come into the sport, a Logan Sargeant, Zhou Guan Yu, a Yuki Tsunoda, who gets much less criticism now, but he did get it in his first season there. Because we're like, oh, they're just not cut out for it. Remember when Lewis came in and he likes... Yeah. Lewis was in a McLaren, which was capable of competing, right?
Yeah.
And we've established... No one better than Lando Norris has established, just very recently, that if you have the car, you still need to be the driver, right?
Yeah.
So I am going to really enjoy watching Kimi Antonelli in a car that is capable of winning.
Yeah, I'm just excited for next year generally. I think we've got such a competitive grid now heading into next year. Teams are a lot closer. And I've said this before, but it's a real shame that actually we get this and all of a sudden the rules change again. So what will happen again, we'll have, you know, another dominant car for a couple of years, then teams will get closer, and then we'll have another regulation change. It's such a shame because, you know, we've got such competition this year. And going into next year, Ferrari potentially are back.
Which I mean, yeah, the upgrades worked well. I mean, McLaren was still the quickest car, let's be honest.
But at the end of the day, Charles Leclerc was the one who went on to win it.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, we're definitely competitive.
And they looked generally quicker than the Mercedes.
Yeah, no, true.
But also close.
Yeah.
Not like much quicker.
No. And we're bringing new drivers in like Antonelli, Ollie Bearman.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see, you know, Ollie Bearman won the sprint race this weekend. You know, I'm excited to see what they can do.
And we're also seeing known drivers at different teams. We're seeing Carlos Sainz in a Williams.
Yeah.
Williams are going to have an unbelievable partnership, by the way. And the direction that they're going in, I genuinely think they'll be they'll be there or thereabouts next year in terms of best of the rest.
Oh, 100%.
Especially with the driver lineup. You see what Alex Albon is doing in that car.
Hmm.
They continue the development. They then get someone like Carlos Sainz in the second seat. He might even be considered the first seat, however you look at it. They're gonna honestly be unbelievable.
But I said this, didn't I? I said, from a Williams point of view, it makes perfect sense for Carlos Sainz because this is a team who is going in the right direction.
Well, I won't necessarily say it makes perfect sense.
No.
It was the best option
that he had for the rest, yes.
It's the best option other than going to Red Bull, Mercedes, Ferrari, who he obviously had left, or McLaren.
He's not going to Ferrari.
Imagine they just re-sign it. He takes Leclerc's seat.
No, I completely get what you mean. But for me, it's exciting. James Vowles is really building a team there.
Yeah.
That is becoming competitive. They're getting his Q3s more often. Well, I know what we're saying. Alex Albon is Q3.
But that's why I say it's exciting for them next year because, you know, okay, Colapinto we haven't seen enough of. Naturally, he was going to be off the pace this weekend.
Did all right, though.
Six places, finished the race. Didn't do too bad. But you weren't expecting anything mega way. Logan Sargeant has obviously been a huge letdown for them. So getting Carlos Sainz in there, when you see what a driver like Alex Albon is able to do, yeah, I bet they're excited for next season.
Mm.
And then, you know, you've also got the bigger changes over Lewis going to Ferrari, seeing him race in red. It's going to be a crazy season next year.
No, I'm excited. Interesting, just touching on, obviously, the young drivers coming in. Hmm. As I've said before, I've watched quite a bit of F2 this year, and I've really enjoyed it. It's been competitive. You know, Bortoleto and, you know, Hadjer, you know, the P1 and P2 in championship at the moment. But you've got someone like Paul Aaron. And I was reading a story about him the other day, and he's had a fantastic season. Yes, the last few races have been very difficult, but he's been really competitive in that car. And there was an article about the fact that actually what's really sad is that these drivers won't make it into F1 because they don't have the funding. You know, and, you know, they were like, obviously...
Do you really think that's the only reason?
When you look at F1 nowadays, you have a higher chance of getting into the sport if you have a backing.
Absolutely. Yeah,
much more than probably in previously.
That I don't disagree with. But if he was, say he was storming the championship.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess we have seen that anyway.
Hadjo, he's storming the championship.
Yeah, well, he's part of the Red Bull.
He's part of the Red Bull team, yeah.
So, but... What are they going to do? Replace?
No. But he could have potentially been at that, you know, discussion with the Red Bull seat, or he could have been discussion with the.
He may well be.
RB seat, you know.
We don't know.
No.
I think if Red Bull genuinely have any sense about them, they'll get rid of Perez and Danny Ric at the end of the season.
Yeah.
You know, Danny Ric has plugged a gap. It was probably a wasteful gap. They could have just put Lawson in that seat, and then. Decided, okay, should we promote Tsunoda or Lawson into the Red Bull for 2025? And then Hadjar, who's having a great season, put him into the seat.
Yeah. You know, we've seen Antonelli, Behrman coming in. You know, they're part of the Ferrari team. But for someone like Paul Aaron, he won't get a seat in F1 because the majority of the teams lower down where he would probably fit into...
Need the cash.
So, you know, there's these drivers who will end up missing out of, even there, some of their seats in F2 will go because there'll be other drivers coming through who have funding. So it is, you know, and I know we don't like using this, you know, comparison to football and stuff like that, but it was very much like, you know, with football, if you're good, the likelihood is you'll make it through.
Well, yeah, but that's the difference with football, isn't it? It's like, it doesn't, if you can afford a football and a pair of boots,
you're fine.
You can make it. Do you know what I mean? And a lot of the time, you don't even need that. I mean, I'm sure it's different nowadays, but you go back to like the 70s, 80s, and some of those Brazilians growing up with nothing. and they produce some of the best footballers in the world. But unfortunately, it's a sport that requires a lot of money.
Mm.
I think it's a shame. It's a shame that it still requires the money at the highest level. I kind of get it in F2. I think that's a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
But I find it mental that you've got more chance to get into an F1 seat if you bring money with you.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part, because there's a lot of money in this sport.
Mm.
And I know that it all sits at the top. That's pretty common with a lot of sports. I said, it's just most sports don't require a huge amount of money to operate generally. But I just can't believe that you would pass up on the opportunity to have a better driver. That's how Logan Sargeant got a seat. You know, when Logan Sargeant got his seat, everyone was like, really?
We even said it. We were questioning why. Like, you know,
And now it's backfired massively on Williams, because they've had a driver like Alex Albon. If they had two Albons for the last 2 years, God knows where they'd be. But they'd probably be earning more money through sponsorships, actually wanting to partner with them, because they're not considered a joke of a team, and because they're actually earning more money because they're scoring more points.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? If you're better to invest in better drivers, because the longevity of it, the better you do, the better financials you get.
Exactly. But even take Lewis Hamilton, right, coming in 2007. I have absolutely no idea what he brought with him. I know he was part of McLaren's academy and everything.
Yeah.
But let's just assume he brought absolutely nothing. In the long run, who is a better investment? Logan Sargeant, who brings a lot of sponsorship, brings the American fan base, or Lewis Hamilton?
Yeah.
And I know that's on two opposite ends of the spectrum, and the chance of that ever happening is very slim, but that's kind of the distinction you make when you pick someone that's going to bring money as opposed to someone who's been performing really well.
Mm.
How many of the next Lewis Hamiltons have been passed up on because there's a driver like Logan Sargeant who brings in sponsorship?
Nikita Mazepin.
All
these drivers.
Mick Schumacher comes in off the back of a name.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, and there's so many good drivers that we're missing out on.
No.
Purely because of this.
And that's the sad thing. And you know, with regards to obviously my point earlier, Paul Aaron, I've seen a lot of him this year. Phenomenal driver. But when I was reading this article, I was kind of like, I think because I've watched a lot more of it, I have a better understanding of how he's driven and what he's done. And,
yeah.
And I was kind of like, that's true. You know, this type of driver will just be passed up. And actually, the way it's going, he may not even have a seat in F2 next year.
Yeah.
Which is mad. We've got a lot to talk about. Let's just quickly touch on a bit of news, shall we, that has come out. So, you know, there was all that talk about Red Bull wanting the FIA to review the front wing of the Mercedes.
Red Bull and Ferrari. Let's not just...
No, Red Bull. Yeah, granted, Red Bull and Ferrari. However, it's been wiped. It said apparently the wing's fine. No issues. There's no further action.
Yeah, now this is interesting. I think this is an interesting development for a few reasons. I think number one, it's hilarious that as soon as the chips are down, Red Bull assume something on the other team's car must be illegal.
Yep.
They have literally always been that way. They have never been any different, and they never will be any different.
No.
Despite the fact that they've had an absolute rocket ship for the last 3 seasons, after breaking the cost cap in the very first year it was introduced.
Yeah, but that was only for sandwiches.
Well, yeah. But you see my point. So I do find it hilarious and just sort of... It's kind of so annoying. That it winds me up when they do this shit. So I'm so glad that they've been deemed legal.
Yeah.
Not least because one of the teams in question was Mercedes. And Mercedes have found performance along with McLaren.
Yep.
Now, the real interesting part, I think, is do Ferrari and Red Bull know how to develop a wing like this?
Yeah.
And if so, are they now thinking, what if it's legal? We're going to do it. And then are we going to see these performance gains from those two teams?
Yeah, because it's interesting, isn't it? Because Ted Kravitz was talking this weekend about, you know, the rise of McLaren. And they said, when you look at the McLaren and Red Bull, the car's basically identical. But what they've done is McLaren have just made a better job with actually their upgrades and how they can make that car better.
Yeah.
Whereas Red Bull, they're bringing these upgrades, but they're not matching. 1 minute something's working.
Do you think that's ever since they phased Nui out of the development?
I wouldn't surprise me.
I know.
It wouldn't surprise me because...
It's funny timing, isn't
it? Yeah. Although, did you hear Perez's comment this weekend, which I almost pissed myself out because it made me laugh.
I know the one you're talking about.
So if you don't know, obviously Perez has said, you know, oh, for the last 8-10 races, my car's, you know, been exactly what Max has been experiencing, and now Max is starting to experience this. No, Checo, you've just been shit for the last 8-10 races.
Can I also just say that they started next to each other on the grid this weekend?
Yeah.
And Max finished about 18 seconds ahead of him.
He can't. So. He just, you know, Checo, I'm sure you're a nice guy, and I know you listen to this weekly.
Yeah, he's one of our biggest fans.
But don't start trying to bring Max in. Now Max is starting to understand the problems. No, you've been woeful for basically the whole season. You shouldn't be in a seat. So don't try just bringing Max into this.
Let's not forget that Max qualified on pole last week.
Yeah.
I'm talking Zandvoort, obviously, yeah. For those listening, because it's Wednesday. And then came P2.
But Max is starting to understand they have these issues now. Get it right. Checo, it's ridiculous.
I think essentially what has happened is we spoke about this. I spoke about this heavily, mainly because it was like copium, but they were going to experience the law of diminishing returns. This was going to come. Now, I do think it's not purely come from that. I think they've actually finally produced some bad upgrades. I think that could have something to do with Nui being phased out of the development of the car because he's leaving. It could also possibly be that they did have something illegal on the car. There was a directive change over the summer.
Yep.
And they did appear to fall off a cliff. They didn't slowly fall back.
They heavily have fallen off the cliff.
So, yeah, I think Checo is... clutching at straws a little bit there, but there clearly is something wrong with the car. I'm not denying that. It's not like, oh, Max has just fallen off. No, there is that car. There's something wrong with it. Do you know what I mean? And I think what is funny now is Red Bull fans are finally seeing even the great Max Verstappen needs the car behind him.
Yeah.
We have always said that every single driver that is ever going to win the championship needs the car behind them. They need each other.
However, my point on that is this is when you see the difference between the greats and the good drivers, because the races which we've experienced since Red Bull have gone off the cliff, you would always see either someone like Lewis, you know, Lewis or Max would still get wins out of those cars. I mean by that, it was obviously this weekend, realistically, Lewis or Max would have won that if they were in the best car, or, you know, if they're in the McLarens. In the McLarens, we've said before, if Max or Lewis were in there, they'd be winning those races.
If Max or Lewis were in the McLaren, they would be winning every single race.
And that's the difference from, and that's one thing I don't want to get mistaken, is actually the likes of Max and Lewis are a different level. They're in their prime, when they're in their best car, they're in a different level.
Yeah.
Because realistically, Lando Norris should be winning these races week in, week out.
It shouldn't even... A lot of the time, it shouldn't be a contest, besides with Piastri.
Yeah.
But Lando, you cannot deny, has been superior to Piastri across the spectrum of weekends.
Yep.
As in not looking individually at races or specifically lap one of races.
Yeah.
Generally, Lando has been the superior driver this season, undeniably. And I know we'll talk more about lap one of Monza, but yeah, I think it's nice to see that maybe he's realizing that you've also got to have something about you, not just the car.
No. And that's the credit you say about, you know, the respect you have for people like Max and Lewis, because...
And this is why we always gave Max respect, especially last season, right? It could have been so easy to turn around last season and be like, oh, well, obviously he's winning. He's got a fucking spaceship. Yeah. But we said to win that consistently, that dominantly against your teammate as well.
Also had a rocket ship, but did nothing with
it. Yeah, who also had a rocket ship. Is special. It takes a special driver to be able to do that. And it's the same reason that if you're an intelligent, sensible fan, you'll look back and you'll think, yeah, Lewis Hamilton, what a special driver. Sebastian Vettel, what a special driver. You won 4 championships in a row. Michael Schumacher, what a special... They all had the car, right? Not one of those drivers didn't have the car when they won the championship, right? I know Seb probably had some closer ones. Lewis in 07 definitely had a closer one. But it was the driver that made the real difference.
Yeah. Oh, but you could even say that about what the 18 season when he was battling with Vettel at Ferrari.
Yeah.
You know, you had a competitive Ferrari.
And look at Lewis when he was up against Rosberg.
Rosberg, yeah.
You know, that they were like proper championships and, you know, Rosberg beat him one year.
But no, fair play to them. One thing I wanted to quickly say, isn't it refreshing? You take a look back when probably race 2 of this season, where I remember you were kind of done. You were like, I am so done with this sport. I can't be bothered. And now looking ahead, even this time last year, isn't it really nice to actually be positive in a podcast talking about a really competitive season?
Well, I mean, this time last year, I mean, it was just depression.
It was so dull.
Then like when the season started again, it was just like, fucking kill me. Like, what a... I can't do another year of it. And it's more because it's like... I can genuinely deal with Max winning another championship.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
It's not that. I couldn't deal with him winning it in the same fashion as last year, because that was so boring. You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to waste my Sunday watching a race that is just dominated by someone.
No. But we're very lucky.
Now the future is bright.
It is. Just quickly touching on Max. So apparently there was talk this weekend that, you know, Max Verstappen's father, Jos Verstappen.
He's been, a good bloke.
Do you know what? He comes out with some cracking stuff, and she makes it a bit more entertaining. So he has basically revealed that Max Verstappen is done with Red Bull after another difficult weekend in Monza.
He's done with them after... What, 3 years of having...
The most dominant car.
Two years.
Yep.
And then obviously in 2021, they had a very competitive car, which took him to a controversial championship.
So Jos did say it was also a huge disappointment that it happened. Well, he said he's certainly combative, but after the race, he was quite done about it, especially because Red Bull just can't get it together. First of all, I think all the updates that have been brought this year, they have not brought what they thought they would bring. And because of that, you still stand a bit and the others are still making big steps. And standing still means going backwards. And certainly in Formula One, you are going backwards. The near future does not look positive either. The races follow each other quickly and I think they have not found a solution yet. Red Bull have remained standing a bit and the rest have become stronger. I mean, for me, it's a bit interesting because...
Talk about throwing your toys out the pram.
I agree. Answer me this, all right? Going back to what we said earlier on about Mercedes.
Yep.
Come the end of the season.
He's done with Red Bull.
Hang on. Let me... Max Verstappen ends up losing the championship. They lose the constructors. He's like, do you know what? I'm done with this. Nui's gone. Horner's still here. You know, it's crap. He goes to Toto Wolff and says, look, I want to join you.
Nothing happens.
No. Hypothetically.
Yeah, but...
Are you turning down a 3-time world champion?
Yeah, because there's absolutely no reason to get George out of the team at this point in time. And you're not going to risk ruining the relationship with Kimi Antonelli.
I don't know. I could see it happen. I could see Toto going...
And I'm not being funny,
We're not going to turn up on this offer.
Mercedes have had like two terrible years. The worst 2 years of the hybrid era.
Yep.
And Max is done with Red Bull after a few races. He's not going to know himself when he gets to Mercedes.
Yeah, but when you look at it, it's, I suppose it's all the other things that accumulated to why that, all the drama that's gone on, all
fuck the drama. With all the drama, would you rather that and win a championship?
Yeah.
Or would you rather no drama, nicey rule, friends, P3?
No, I'm just curious. Obviously, if reports are saying Max is done with Red Bull, then if at the end of season he is that done and he doesn't want to do another season with them, yes, okay, he has a very good contract, all of this stuff.
If he's done with Red Bull, I cannot believe that. I just think that is so pathetic.
But, guys, let us know at home. If Mercedes came along and said, look, okay, actually, we want you. Who are you getting rid of? Are you going to say, Kimi, I'm really sorry.
This is I know you're saying it's hypothetical, but it's just not going to happen.
Okay.
It's simply not going to happen.
All right. Before we get on to the race, I know last week you discussed about where we were in the podcast ratings.
Oh, yeah. I think we've moved up a little bit. You know?
So, in the Apple Podcast, Great Britain Fantasy Sports, we are 126th.
Wow. We've climbed like nearly 100 places.
In Bermuda Fantasy Sports, we are P17.
Yeah, we are big in Bermuda.
Yeah, they love us there. Mm. Yeah, so, you know, doing quite well. Shall we talk about Monza?
Yes.
I don't know what I was expecting you, to go. No.
Nope. Hit cut. No, it's... it's a great track.
I love the track.
I'm going there next year. I've decided.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it happen. I don't know how. I'm going to figure that out.
Yeah, I would like to go.
Later down the line.
I would love to go.
Maybe you could pay for a trip there.
Okay. Well, we've got our Racecast credit card.
Do we? I just thought that was yours.
Well.
Yeah, so Matt's going to take us to... If Lando Norris wins the championship, Matt's going to take us to Monza.
All right.
Are you that confident that you won't do it?
Yeah, 100%. I'm that confident. But if Lando doesn't win, then you're paying.
No, because I'm not. I don't know what...
No, you're confident.
No, and that's the thing. Come on. I'm not.
Come on.
I'm not confident. I wholeheartedly believe in Max Verstappen's ability to be able to grind out this championship. But right now, there's something happening with this Red Bull car that I just can't figure out. Like,
I agree with you.
Straight line speed was...
My faith is in Max Verstappen to seal it out by getting whatever. But I have no faith in Lando Norris going on to win that championship. And this weekend was a prime example of that. Because he had the opportunity to win this race. He put that car on pole position, another stinky lap one, cost him with his teammate. So let's get into this, okay? So let's skip practice, because this is the big part is...
We already spoke about Kimi Antonelli's crash. There was nothing massively exciting.
Colapinto had a few little close calls, but, you know,
and then he comes
generally
to quali. We should mention quali, because people would be like, oh, you just skimmed over the fact that Lewis had another awful qualifying. Typical Mercedes fans. It was another awful...
And he came out and said...
But here's the thing I do want to mention is he should have done better, right? He absolutely should have done better. But what was he like? 1.6 tenths off first?
Oh, yeah.
It was ultra close, but...
1.6?
As in, like, wasn't he, like, 0.16?
Yeah, you were saying 1.6, so it sounds like it's 1.6 seconds.
Oh. 1.6 tenths. I don't know if that's...
Thousands of a second, yeah.
But you know what I mean. 16 hundredths of a second.
Yeah.
It's ultra fine margins, but ultimately it's fine margins. So those thousandths make such a difference. I don't think he should have been on pole necessarily. I think he could have.
He had a good chance.
I think he had a chance. He could have been on the front row. He should have definitely, given how his weekend went, been ahead of George Russell.
Yeah, and fair play to George.
Again, Lewis had the toe from him on that lap. Yeah.
But again, the toe was an interesting one because what they were saying is that to have a really good toe, you need to have about 7 to 8 seconds.
6, 7 seconds, yeah.
Between each car. I was watching it when Lewis was on his lap and he had the toe, but he was in around the 4 second mark.
So he had a bit of dirt, yeah.
Yeah, so if he had the dirty air in there, that was going to cost him. But the toe wasn't as effective as what they were thinking this weekend.
No. And there's no excuse for that.
No.
That, you know, this has been Lewis's issue.
He can't since qualify.
Last season.
He can't qualify
and,
for some reason.
And it's such a shame because typically his race pace is unbelievable. He's normally the quickest thereabouts. He's always up
there.
But
he showed that in FP2, FP3. His qualifying pace, he looked quick.
And if he started further up the field, he would have probably won more races.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's something that needs to be addressed because you can't just rely on your race pace.
No. And I think the interesting thing is, and he came out afterwards and said, you know, I'm just rubbish.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and it was quite...
Which, you know, no one believes that.
No.
He might be having doubts about his ability, but realistically, he's not.
No.
He needs to work on it because something is not right at the moment. But there's no way he can hook up laps so consistently in a race and not be able to put in an absolute stormer in qualifying. But quali was generally pretty good.
P1, P2 for McLaren, Norris, and then Piastri. Again, strong from George, P3, Leclerc, P4. Yeah,
the Ferrari, the upgrades came through like we spoke about last week. We did say it was make or break for them.
Yeah,
and it looks like they've made it. They saved themselves.
Well, if we can see it going into Baku and consistently, yeah I agree. I think it looks good. But heading to the race, obviously...
On quali, Red Bull were 6, 7 tenths off.
They were, yeah. What made me laugh, though, is... So, it worked out that the last time Perez out-qualified Max was somewhat... It was like last year sometime, or was it 2020? I can't remember how many races it's been.
Saudi or something?
Like yeah, that. It was something really bad and tragic. And obviously, at that point, Perez was ahead of him going into the final run. It's like the commentator curse. Oh, Perez hasn't out-qualified, and you... Could this be the day? And all of a sudden you just see Max go above Perez. And I was like, no, he's still shit. But yeah, that Red Bull, they just couldn't get it synced up at all. It is worrying times for Red Bull. And I know we touched on that earlier. And I think when you're Christian Horner, you'll be looking at it and going, we're in trouble. Because you have after this weekend, you haven't just got McLaren competitive. You potentially have Ferrari becoming competitive.
And you've already got the Mercedes, who we know are competitive.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're looking at the constructors, after this weekend, Ferrari have now become like 40 points behind Red Bull. So realistically, Red Bull could see themselves down in P3 by the end of this season.
Yep.
And
if it gets really bad, let's say, I know this is not going to happen, but let's say, hypothetically, they are consistently like 5, 6 tenths off the pace. And you have got Mercedes in and around. I still think it could get close of them.
No, see, I think Red Bull would just have enough there. But I think Red Bull have always done well because they've always relied on Max Verstappen picking up the points.
Well, also, Red Bull have done well because they've had the best competitive car.
But what I mean by that is they haven't had to rely on Perez.
Oh, yeah, because Max was
good. Max is always the one who picks up the points. So, heading into the race, obviously, this weekend, was a lot of questions about Lando Norris's start. And to be fair to him, he didn't have an awful start off the line.
Nope, he didn't.
It was probably one of the better starts he's had. However, heading into turn one, Piastri broke, George locked up, went straight on. That put him right back.
And George made contact with... Oscar.
He did. Damaged the front wing, I believe. Because I didn't see the full
Oscar
race.
Oscar was lucky to not get a puncture, you know?
Yeah. I didn't see the full race because I was at a wedding.
Yeah.
I was watching the highlights and I was kind of getting reports on the F1 app telling me what's going on. May I just say, never really read it because I've normally watch it. Decent. The updates are decent. But what I don't understand, so Piastri, for me, what an overtake.
Oh yeah, I loved it.
Superb overtake. But this is where I'm a bit confused, because you've got a competitive driver in Piastri. You've also got a competitive driver in Lando Norris. Lando Norris is in a very good position to actually win the World Championship. I don't think McLaren are going to have a better opportunity than this year to do that.
And let's be honest, they're going to win the Constructors' Championship. That,
well, yeah.
That to me is dead cert.
It wasn't until this weekend in my eyes. However, if Ferrari continue on these upgrades and continue... They won a race. They're only 20 points behind in the Constructors.
Okay. So, like, last season when Carlos Sainz won at Singapore, were they back?
No. It's not what I'm saying.
No. They did win on pure pace.
Yeah.
Right. The McLaren is clear. Right. It's the best car.
Yeah, don't disagree with that.
McLaren are going to win the Constructors' Championship. I would bet this property of mine that we're in right now.
Okay, granted. I'm only saying, from a Ferrari point of view, if they continue on this progress, they're only 40 behind Red Bull. They're only 20 behind McLaren.
They're looking at P2 in the chat, yeah, and they will know that.
I agree. But what I'm just saying hypothetically, they are around there.
I get it, but you're talking about the team McLaren. McLaren don't need to worry as a team about the constructors.
No,
what they do need to worry about is having a world championship driver, and they can do that in Lando Norris, but we're going to have to get to a point where they start bringing in team orders. And I know it was heavily discussed over the weekend, but we've seen already this season how they sort of flip-flap between things. They made their life difficult in Hungary. And I think they made their life difficult again this weekend by actually not giving orders to Oscar to not overtake. I think what you would have said is, look, Oscar, if you get launch off the line better than him, take the position and whatnot. I don't think, as a team, it was very intelligent for them to allow Oscar to make a move like that. Now, Oscar Piastri's got every right to do that, but that's purely because the team probably haven't said anything to him.
And he's a racing driver.
Yeah,
you're going to want to win. So, I think what I've really struggled with McLaren this year is their decision making and their orders and what they're actually trying to achieve. Because I don't really understand what they're trying to achieve here. Yes, okay, they're just trying to achieve the constructors, and come the end of the season, they go, oh, we've had two really good drivers, we've won the constructors. Well, no. You've got an opportunity here to win a championship.
Yeah.
If you had told Oscar to give that place back early or not challenge Lando, yes, potentially he would have gone on to win that race.
I mean, the problem is they couldn't ask him to give the position back because Leclerc had got past.
No, but what I mean is at the end of the race, come the end of the race, if you know that Lando could potentially get three more points in P2 than Piastri in P3.
And I get your point. I know it's all going to get really close at some point in the season, but you know, the 3 points was a difference between actually 10 points. Do you know what I mean? Because in my opinion, they should have never allowed Piastri to take P1 off him. Giving him P2 is an extra 3 points. Yeah, but he should have actually had an extra 10 points.
No, I agree. I'm just thinking, come the end of season, we know, look at that 21 season. Those 3 points or 5 points or whatever could make such a difference.
Yeah, but we saw, and this is the thing that we had in Hungary, you know? And we said then they had no right to take the win off Lando. And I think at that stage, we were right in saying so.
Yeah.
But I think with Max being down in P7 or wherever the hell it was, P6, you cannot pass up that opportunity to take so many more points.
If you're Red Bull this weekend, you're coming away from that going, well, this is damage limitations. Lando in P3 and Max in P6.
In terms of the Drivers' Championship, for sure. Mm. I mean, they're trembling over the constructors. I'm sure they've written that off at this point.
If Red Bull have three or four more races like they've had this weekend, Max is champion.
And everyone knows that the Drivers' Championship is the one you want to win. That's the one you celebrate. Go back to 2021 if you don't believe me. You know, Mercedes won the Constructors' Championship. Did you see anyone celebrating at the end?
No one cared.
No one gave a shit because Max Verstappen was the world champion. And it's going to be the same this year.
Yeah.
Okay, McLaren might internally celebrate that. And I'm sure they'll openly celebrate it on the day because it's such a big feat for them.
Yeah.
You know, to come from where they've come from. But if they've thrown away the opportunity to make Lando a world champion, to me, that's a huge L.
Can I ask you something? And this question may sound a bit strange, but say, for example...
Typically.
Say Max Verstappen ends up just having shocker. You know, the car is so bad, he ends up finishing P7, P8, P9 races, okay? Lando Norris picks up enough points to win the championship.
Uh-huh.
Is he a worthy champion? And I know this probably sounds a silly question, but what I mean by that is you look at the champions over the year, they dominate the season. They don't. It's not just giving it to them, they dominate it.
I get your point.
I know at the end of the day, if you get enough points, you're obviously a worthy champion. But
you're saying like if he gets the championship purely because Max, say like something really bad happens to the Red Bull, Max is like P9, P10, maybe not even getting points. And Lando's not winning races. He's just maybe picking up podiums.
Which is very likely with this Red Bull, how it's going. You know, a P6 this weekend is awful for a team.
Yeah.
They haven't won a race in the last six races. You know, it's
it's
bad for Red Bull.
Was it P6 or was it P7?
P6. I'm pretty sure it's P6.
Well, where was George?
He was P8, I think.
Oh.
I may be wrong. P6. Oh no, George was P7. Sorry.
Okay, got you. I do get your question. It's difficult, isn't it, to say is someone a worthy champion? And I know you have your Lando agenda.
I would say this if this was someone different. I'm just curious to see
a worthy champion. Yeah, you know, if you've won the championship, chances are you're worthy of it. Is he necessarily one of the most prolific champions? No. Is it a championship that people are going to remember? No. You know, it's not going to be... It'll be one of those weird championships, won't it?
It'd be like a Jenson Button. They have a really good start to the season and then all of a sudden other cars just...
Yeah, it would be like more... You know, no matter how you frame it, Jenson Button is not a prolific world champion.
Kimi Raikkonen wasn't a prolific world champion.
Yeah, although, you know, that was a good season.
No, that was a good...
But he was up against two very quick McLarens. Whereas Jenson Button had a spaceship for the first half of the season. Everyone else then went with the double diffuser and bang, before you know it, that was it. And that's no disrespect to Jenson Button, but that was more impressive circumstantially.
Yeah. Considering that cut, and also the team and the situation.
I think that's probably how we'd look at Lando if he won in that fashion. If Lando goes on to win every single race from now, you think, yeah, fair play.
Oh, 100%.
You deserve to win this. Yeah. But I think if he wins it in this hypothetical situation that you're talking about, it's going to be more of a case of, yeah, fair fucking play, McLaren. Like, you've come from being in the absolute pits since Lewis left you. And within the space of a couple of seasons, it was almost an overnight transformation where you went from being one of the shittest cars to actually one of the best cars. I think everyone will look at it as more of a like, wow, like what an achievement from a team like McLaren, what a turnaround. But
it's always that question, isn't it? What makes a true champion? Is a true champion someone who is an all-round great driver? Someone who, you know, can command from the start of the race and to the end of the race? Is it someone who, you know, we're watching now, like, old, right? But look at Sebastian Vettel. He would start on pole. He would finish on pole. He finished the race, you know, P1. He would command the race, wouldn't he? He would challenge for it.
Yeah, and you definitely don't get that feeling from Lando at this point in time. Okay, you can even talk about Zandvoort. He still lost P1 on the first lap. I know he won, and then he won by like 20-something seconds. It was a very impressive win. But in my opinion, it should have been the same this weekend.
Yeah, 100%.
He should have had an impressive win this weekend.
I generally thought...
He should have had multiple this season.
Yeah, we've said this, haven't we? You know, he's... Let's just touch on obviously, the races itself, because, obviously, McLaren... And it was always interesting listening to Lewis when he came out after, because did you hear his comments about McLaren's strategy?
No.
So he said he found it quite strange because, obviously, they were burning through their tyres, and he was quite shocked when he was coming over on the radio what their lap times were doing. So obviously they were eating through their tyres. The deg on their tyres was really bad, hence why they went for the two stop. Mm-hmm. For Charles Leclerc, for some reason, and Carlos Sainz, they made the one stop work.
And did you see how consistent Charles's times were?
They were, but he also, they pitted early because they were undercut by McLaren.
Yeah.
So, you know, they ended up pitting early. But it was interesting because Lewis was coming out after, he was like, you could just literally tell by, because he was asking, what's the lap times doing? Mm-hmm. And he was like, you can understand why they're just churning through their tyres, because they were pushing so hard. They were in dirty air as well. Mm-hmm. They were just churning through them. The strategy calls, again, they obviously felt that they had enough pace in that McLaren to do a two-stop and still go after that Ferrari.
Yeah.
And granted, if there was another couple of laps, they probably would have done that. But that Ferrari, what they've done this weekend, and we've slated their strategy calls many times on this podcast. Yep. They got it spot on. And Charles Leclerc drove a perfect race.
Yeah, I mean, it was a masterstroke, you know, from Ferrari. From start to finish, I think they called it perfectly. They won at their home Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think there are too many better scenes than watching a Ferrari win at Monza, because the fans are incredible. But yeah, you could argue that, again, McLaren have made an error. It's certainly not the first time this season that strategy has let them down. Go back to Silverstone.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't decisive enough. They made Lando decide what tyres to go on. He went on the soft to match Lewis. Backfired.
The issue is this team is obviously going through such a transition. You know, they've, in the sense of, this is new territory for them. This season, I know they were strong towards the end of last year, but
is this not what you train for? Is this not like... I know they haven't got experience necessarily with winning, but surely they should still have capable people that are able to identify what is a winning strategy.
No, I would agree with you.
It's not like you're going to be like, oh, okay, well, we're actually finishing like P6, P5 in the constructors, so we'll just employ some mediocre folk. No, you employ people that are going to take you to the top.
Yeah.
And I'm not criticising McLaren's team at all. I'm sure they are generally all very talented people. But this isn't the first time that they've messed up.
No. And I think when you look at the difference between McLaren and the likes of Red Bull very rarely make a bad strategy call.
I think they've probably made one in like the last 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, this weekend their pit stop was the first muck up I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is a difference from a world championship team. And I suppose it goes back to what I was saying about McLaren earlier, you know, makes it worthy champions. And
McLaren will be worthy champions.
100%. And I agree with you on that. Some of their calls are questionable. Yeah. However, what they've done to this team is phenomenal. Yeah. I just don't know. I think, you know, this weekend, you had Oscar Piastri, who just kept in P2. You've got a perfect opportunity. And I think if Lando Norris doesn't win it this year, he's not going to have much better opportunities.
Well, it's only going to get more difficult next season.
But it is, because teams are going to get stronger.
Yeah.
And then come 2025, if McLaren don't get it right, 26, sorry, if McLaren don't get it right, they could be a mid-table team.
He's back to square one, yeah, isn't he?
So this is and we've discussed this with Ferrari, for example, in 22 season. That was their perfect opportunity to win a championship.
Yeah, and Charles didn't have the opportunity since.
No. This is a perfect opportunity now for Lando Norris to win this championship, and for McLaren and Zak Brown, Andrea Stella, to go, we've got to focus on that, mm-hmm, because that is something to define as a McLaren world champion, and is vital.
I do think that will be something that is heavily discussed during team meetings this week.
Hmm. But they've only got, what, 8 races now?
And that's my point. It's whether, is it too little too late? And we'll find out next race at Baku.
What is it, 62 points difference?
Yeah.
In the championship. Realistically...
It could have been 52.
That's roughly about 3 races. 2.5 races, 3 races.
It could have been 52.
Yeah. Well, actually, it could have been less, because if they just swapped P2 and P3 around.
What do you mean?
If Lando got P2.
No, I'm saying if Oscar hadn't have taken Lando and that.
Oh yeah, no.
And I'm not blaming Oscar at all for this. Like, I would have done exactly what he had done.
A lot of hate. Have you seen it?
It's, yeah, but Lando's getting a lot. And yeah. Lando fans are as well. No, Oscar did absolutely nothing wrong, right?
I thought it was a beautiful overtake.
It was unbelievable. It was hard. It was clean.
When you look back in the 21 season where Max almost pushed Lewis off in the same corner, do you remember? Was it 21? One of the seasons where Max literally almost pushed Lewis off into that corner in that overtake.
They both left each other space here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the good thing about it. My point is the team should have never allowed something like that to happen. Mm. And they did allow it to happen, because they came over the radio saying, like, oh, papaya rules or whatever the fuck that is. That was really cringy, by the way. Whoever came over and said that, like, I had secondhand embarrassment. So... yeah, it may well be too little too late, unless Max has like a DNF. Red Bull has typically been very reliable. I know he had a DNF earlier this season.
Yeah. And all it takes is another couple of Mercedes wins, another couple of Ferrari wins.
Yeah.
And then Lando just won't get it. But I do... after this weekend, I was quite shocked at how we're coming away from this weekend going, how have McLaren not won it?
Yeah, it's like history repeating itself every weekend.
Like, watching Charles Leclerc win in a home race in Monza, well, Ferrari home race in Monza.
He's had a mega season.
It's great.
He's won 2 races. He won Monaco, his home race, and he's won Monza, the Ferrari's home race.
Yeah. So... credit to him. I thought he did a great race, and he fully deserved it in the end. You know, he held those tyres, he was very consistent on the pace. But McLaren need to sort out if they have any chance of wanting to get that drivers' championship.
Yeah, 100%.
Just looking at the points, so obviously Max Verstappen is 303 points, Lando Norris is 241, Charles Leclerc 217.
Yeah, you think it's on for Charles?
Yeah,
it, mathematically, it is on for Charles.
Yeah, he's on for a world champion.
Still on for Lewis, mathematically.
Yeah,
we just need a lot of DNFs.
That is, yeah, it is true. Kevin Magnussen going to miss a race.
Yeah, I mean it was coming.
Devastated,
wasn't it? I mean, he's had it coming all season. Let's be real here. Yeah, he's. I'm not surprised he hasn't got a seat for next season. I think his time in the sport is up. He's driving like a mental case.
Who do you think is going to replace him for that Baku race?
Can they replace him?
Well, yeah. I believe so.
I probably Behrmann.
It makes sense, wouldn't it? However, I was thinking about Ollie Behrmann. I was like, oh, yeah, it makes sense. Say he comes in, okay, and he has an utter stinker of a weekend.
So what?
Yeah.
You know, it's one race.
Yeah.
He's come in and he raced in the Ferrari and proved that, like, he could have a very consistent good weekend.
Yeah, true.
I've just actually seen pop up. Official announcement of Adrian Newey signing with Aston Martin is expected to be made before the Azerbaijan Grand Prix.
Yeah, I saw that. His $100 million contract.
Can I also just say, I saw this made me really laugh. I saw it earlier. Lance Stroll came in to pit to get fastest lap of the race at the end of the race. And he came out on fresh soft tyres. And his lap was 0.8 slower than Lando Norris on his old hards. How funny is that? Why would you give that opportunity to Lance Stroll? Like, come on.
He's the one you want to give it to, though, isn't he?
Oh, it's unbelievable. But, yeah, I saw that. It made me laugh a lot. Yeah,
Adrian Newey is...
He's going to make a big difference to that team. I do think part of the reason we're seeing this Red Bull drop-off is because he has... We know factually that he's been phased out of the development of the car. What we also know is that actually a lot of Red Bull engineers went over to... They were purged by Aston Martin.
They were.
I think Aston Martin are a team that, if they get Adrian Newey, we should keep our eyes on next season.
I'm not expecting
them to come out...
I think 2026, yes, okay, potentially.
Well, they're probably going to be more focused on that as opposed to 2025 anyway, because chances are it's not worth it. What are the chances of you catching up with
these
teams that are so far ahead?
But for Adrian Newey, I mean, I'd have loved to see him go to Ferrari. Talking about other news, which we haven't discussed on the podcast, which was announced, I think, last week, Bono will not be joining Lewis at Ferrari.
Yeah, and people were surprised about this.
I'm not surprised.
It's pretty unusual for an engineer to move with a driver.
Yeah, but I think I'm more sad because obviously it's an iconic duo.
It's the end of an era.
Yeah, when you think of Lewis Hamilton, you think of Bono.
Yeah,
that's obviously going to change.
So. And now we've got to listen to Plan E every week.
Right, Lewis, we're coming up to Plan K.
I can't. I am going to find it difficult next year. I really hope Ferrari smash it. Otherwise, I think it could be painful.
Well, if Ferrari can... And this is a difficulty, isn't it? Normally, Ferrari bring upgrades and they tail off towards the end of the season. Granted, they had the win in Singapore last year.
Yeah, but they weren't the quickest car around Singapore. We know that.
No. If they have a strong end to the year, you know, challenging the McLarens, I don't get me wrong, I don't mean they'll be like... winning race, but if they're closer, like we saw this weekend.
But I think Ferrari still have the Mercedes to worry about before McLaren.
But I think if we see progress, I think for us as Lewis fans, it'll be a bit of a...
If they end the season on par with Mercedes, I'll be a lot more relaxed.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm excited for next year. What other news have we got? Have we got anything else? There's been quite a lot, isn't there?
News?
Not well, obviously, K-Mag, Perez's stupid comments, downfall of Red Bull, which we've covered, is, you know... One question. Do you think people fear Lando Norris? You know when you've got Max Verstappen or someone, or, you know, Lewis, or even Alonso or Michael Schumacher, do you think people fear him?
No, but I don't... I think it would be unfair to expect people to fear him at this stage because he's never really had an opportunity to sort of generate that fear.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, would people have feared Max Verstappen being behind them in 2018?
Yes, because he used to literally do ridiculous overtakes.
Okay, granted.
But that's what I mean. Lando's been in the sport a long time. When you look at the drivers who are feared, they're the ones, even in a young age, they're going for moves that you'll be thinking, wow.
I mean, I know you hate Lando.
I don't hate Lando.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
You do. If Lando knocked at my door right now and wanted to come in, you'd shut it in his face. You wouldn't let him on the podcast.
I wouldn't. I'd ask him, you know, whether he thinks he's going to be world champion this year.
Then he would probably say no, because I think he's probably lacking belief in himself, really.
All right. If Lando Norris doesn't become world champion this year, is that one of the biggest flops?
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievably. Or undoubtedly.
See, I would say, no, because I think for Lando, you know, it's the fact that he's here is a real positive, because I'm a firm believer that Lewis is, you know, Lando's shown great progress this year, and I'm really excited to see what he can do. I would say it's a massive flop.
I think he should absolutely be winning this championship.
Final question. Can Red Bull turn this around this year?
Yeah. Yeah, I think... We say turn it around.
In time to avoid the Constructors, losing the Constructors?
I don't think they'll win the Constructors, but that's their own fault. That's because of Perez.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be in this position with the car they started off with. They should not be in this position.
No,
I agree. In terms of the Constructors being under threat.
I generally don't think Perez realises he's the issue.
No, well, he's probably a little bit deluded, isn't he?
Well, when you hear interviews and stuff, you're kind of like, you...
He's like the Eric Ten Hag of F1, isn't he?
Yeah. It's like, if I knew I was that bad in the best car, and I was going to interviews going... Yeah, well, I could have done better today. Just the team didn't, you know, do this or we didn't do that. I'd be like, Matt, you sound like a twat.
Yeah, like, just firm it and just say, like, yeah, there's something fundamentally wrong with my performance at the moment.
Yeah.
I should retire.
Well, yeah. Right, I think that is the end of the podcast.
That is. We've got no race this weekend, but we are at Baku the following weekend.
Not one of my most exciting races to watch.
No, it's... I don't massively enjoy it.
No.
Personally.
But who knows what can happen.
Yep.
Obviously, let us know what your thoughts are on what we've spoken about today. We'll be back next week for a brand new podcast, previewing Baku, giving our predictions. Can Lando Norris and McLaren turn it around? Can they make them into a world championship team? We shall only wait and see. But have a good rest of the week, and we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.